Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Hey, listen, got to tell you about Otter Creek Farm. Man, that place is so cool. Otter Creek Farm. So I was out there just, about a week or so ago, and there was a bunch of guys heading out into the fields for a pheasant hunt. At the same time, I was with a group of guys or a couple of guys that were touring the facilities, the actual hard stand facilities, to see about using it for a corporate retreat, which I'm hearing from them now went over like gangbusters. Like, they love it. And we met one of the chefs while we were there. Listen, that place is incredible. Otter Creek Farm. It's a place where you can go shooting for, wing shooting for pheasant and quail. It's a place where you can stay overnight in their amazing facilities. It's a place where you can have a wedding and you can host an event and you can use their chefs to cater. Wow. That place is so cool. You'll look at it on the website, ottercreekfarmstead.com, and you'll quickly realize why they were featured in Garden and Gun magazine. You'll quickly also realize why Donald Trump Jr. came there to stay and why people fly in from Europe to stay there. And it is not so so priced out of range that you can't go there. Anybody can go there. Otter Creek Farm at ottercreekfarmstead.com. That's ottercreekfarmstead.com. All right. Kelsey, I'm still going to use clip two. I'm about to play that here in a second. So if you want to double check and make sure that thing's good to go, I will tell you all this. As we wind up the first part of the DC Watch, because yesterday was so big, I had to spend some time on it. Just know this. With regards to that press conference, it depends on who you are. Now, I did see, by the way, that there were some more liberal media members who are saying, yeah, that went well for us. We like it. However, not that great. Sort of tepid response, if you will. Kind of like crap, we got to say something nice because that didn't go well. But the rest of the world is panning it as a total disaster. Everything from calling the Russia potential invasion of Ukraine by Russia, it might be okay if it's a minor incursion. Telling the world that even though his polling numbers and all of his agenda is crumbling around his feet, that somehow or another, he has outperformed expectations. The fact that he yelled at a reporter when he was questioned on his racist or you're a racist kind of comments in Atlanta last week. And the fact that afterwards, Jen Psaki, his press secretary, had to go out and sort of clean things up by saying, well, here's what he meant to say. That's not good doings. Let me play you a few clips of it. Let me just play it for you. All right, let's do this. I tell you what, I started to call you Copper. Kelsey, go ahead. Let's just do it. Play clip two.
President Biden's performance, and several were pretty aggressive. Take a look.
Did you overpromise to the American public what you could achieve in your first year in office?
Do you need to be more realistic and scale down these priorities
now that legislation appears to be hopelessly stalled? Can you now lay out your strategy to protect voting rights?
I spoke to a number of black voters who fought to get you elected, and now they feel as though you are not fighting hard enough for them.
Why are you trying so hard in your first year to pull the country so far to the left?
This was a far cry from Biden's early portrayal as the next FDR. While some at the lengthy session served up restrained and respectful questions, CNN's Jeff Zeleny asking whether Biden had done enough to restore faith in the competence of government, others were more confrontational.
So does this signal a larger shift in the media's coverage of Biden, do you think?
It's turned harshly negative almost overnight, sparked by sinking polls and the president's defeat, at least for now, on his massive social spending bill and voting rights. New York Times columnist Maureen Dowd says we should feel anger, pity, embarrassment for Biden for overpromising and under-delivering. Washington Post columnist David Vondrelli says Biden is too small for the office. And even Biden boosters on MSNBC are skewering the president.
He doesn't feel in charge. He doesn't feel inspirational. He doesn't feel in command.
Politico says Biden feels like president of the Senate. He acknowledged that criticism today. Even there, he doesn't have control of his own party. Now throw in inflation.
Good enough. Thank you for that. And I think I implied that that was going to be Biden's comments. That was actually the series of different kinds of questions that he was getting. And it was. I'll be honest with you. He hung on. You know, I like I said, I give a guy props. Anybody who will stand there for 2 hours And so I do not take away from the fact that that was a 2-hour press conference, and he stayed out there. But were there things that were done wrong? Yeah. Was it at times kind of stupid? Yeah. Were there places where you think, okay, that was all right? Yeah. But then there were other times you're like, oh my gosh, I'd hate to be on his press corps. You know that. And then there's the Bidenisms. I cannot help but point this out because someone needs to say, Mr. President, please, please stop leaning down and whispering to the microphone. You know that creepy thing he does where he goes, like in this case, he was talking about schools and he said, 95% are open, 95%. I mean, that's creepy, Mr. President. You sound like a stalker when you do that. So all said and done, folks, it was a day yesterday in D.C., number one of the triple dipper, DC watch. Everything pretty much went the way the conservatives would want yesterday in DC. More to come. And I'm going to tell you right now, if he's going to hang on for his full term, this show has got plenty of stuff to talk about. So don't think that we're done, but I will just tell you this. Keep holding the line, right side ruffians. Stay in the fight, because what we're seeing right now is that the Biden administration is not able to get it done. They do not have a leader at the top of the pack, and it is crushing the progressive hopes to come in and change the world as we know it. But don't think they're going to stop trying. Not for a second. Don't think it for a second. All right. Well, listen, let me just do this. That's enough. That's plenty right there on DC Watch. I'm going to go ahead and throw those over here in the pile and move to my next stack in the triple dipper. I had it down for Montgomery Watch, and I'll just see what I can cover on this before we get to the top of the hour. I will say this. One of the things you got to know right now in Montgomery is they're spending a whole lot of money. And granted, that's part of their job. So I'm not saying you're not allowed to go down there and appropriate funds. They've got to. But what's interesting is they are in a special session right now. So to back you up, the legislature's in session. All right, the legislature goes into session once a year. They call it the regular session. It goes in at different times depending upon which year within the 4-year quadrennium that they are in. In this particular year, which is also the election year, it has always been that they go in January, so they can be typically done sometime, you know, around April. And that way they can get back home and do their campaigning if necessary. All that to say, They got, you know, sort of thrown another opportunity for working in Montgomery when day before yesterday, Governor Ivey called for a special session within the regular session. What that means, for those of you who don't know, is a special session is when there is more to do in a separate category to be done under separate timing by the legislature at the call of the governor. And so she literally issues what's called the call. Her proclamation is the call of the legislature to come into session to do these things, boom, boom, boom. And she lays it out. In this case, the number one priority, according to 1819 News, did an interview or got an interview with Senator Greg Reed, a friend of mine who is now the pro tem of the Senate. Senator Reed has said the number one priority is the ARPA funds. That's the American Relief Act. I forgot what the ARPA stands for. But anyway, the bottom line is this is part of the relief funds from the federal government for the COVID relief. We have somewhere in the neighborhood of $772 million that has to be basically assigned. How are you going to spend it? $772 million. Wouldn't that be something? Just watch that kind of money drop into your bank account. Well, that's what's happened. Money is flowing out of D.C. right now. They've got the printing presses going like crazy as they are just printing money and mailing it out to the states. Well, when it gets here, you got to decide what to do with it. Well, the ones who make that decision, of course, are our legislature. The governor has got her ideas about it, but the legislature has the final say. The governor and apparently the leaders of the legislature decided that the best thing they could do would be to stop business for a bit, stop the regular session, shut down all of the minutia, all of the other meetings, all of the other legislation, all of the things that are in the way, and get this done. Because I would bet that part of that is because there were people trying to use it as leverage, and they want to get this distraction out of the way. So right now, story on AL.com is that Alabama is intent upon spending its $772 million in federal pandemic relief. House and Senate committees went into their meetings today and approved, we call them companion bills. When a companion bill, it means you do one in the House, one in the Senate. They're identical, and then you keep them moving, and whichever one gets to the other House first, you take that one up and get it passed. So the House and Senate committees both approved their identical bills on how the state will use the money. So they're doing it. They're moving forward. Right now, the plan is, well, I tell you what, let's get back from this break. I tell you what, Kelsey, go ahead and move us towards the break. We get back from this break. I'm going to tell you, how are they going to spend $772 million? Of your tax money, by the way. $772 million that we didn't have the other day. Just showed up in the checking account, and they've got to do something with it. Well, they've got a plan. I'll tell you what it is, and we'll talk through that in a few minutes. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, just plain right.